people who love them.
Hello, this is The Thing About Cars, coming to you from Strongbox West in Atlanta, as usual. Around the table, we have four of us today. Let's do quick introductions.
Ben.
Ronnie.
Becca.
And I'm Mickey. We have a few things we want to talk about today. My friend Angela wrote a rant online that we got her to read into a microphone for us, and we want to maybe talk about funeral procession etiquette. We'll get back to that in a minute. There's a couple other things that I'm looking at on the list, but I think let's just dive right into Angela's thing. I have a friend, Angela, who I guess sometimes listens to our podcast, and she wrote this really impassioned rant on Facebook and then tagged us. She says, I know, you know, the thing about cars will agree with some of this. So I asked her to read that rant into a microphone for us so that we could use it on the show and possibly have a conversation about it. So let's just take a quick listen to what she had to say. This is what she said.
Hello, this is Angela Pratt. This is an excerpt from a post that I have on my Facebook page about driving. There was a discussion on another thread where someone insisted that timid drivers are not an issue, it's only aggressive drivers. I must disagree about the timid drivers. I live in Atlanta, the land of the super aggressive driver. People who can't make a decision are the ones who cause lots of issues. If you can't hit the gas when the ramp meter is green, then you confuse the driver next to you who's wondering if you're going or not. I've seen too many near collisions because of this. And along this same line, learn to merge. It's also important that drivers on the interstate stay out of the far right lane so people who are entering can merge instead of riding on the shoulder. There are also slow drivers in the wrong lane and people who can't decide which lane to be in. They also cause confusion. When it's not standing still, traffic here is fast, like 75 to 80 miles an hour fast. I think we like to make up for lost time. Anyway, when traffic is moving in Atlanta, a timid, slow driver can cause havoc, especially when camped out in the faster lanes. And please do not turn on your flashers. Not only is it illegal, but it further confuses everyone else. Another big peeve of mine is people who leave more than a couple of feet in front of their car at a stoplight. Ugh! Lights are metered to allow a certain number of vehicles through per cycle. If you're two car lengths away from the car in front of you, guess what? That's two cars that are not getting through that light. These idiots single-handedly cause most traffic congestion on surface streets. And I see it every single time I drive. Close the gap! I hate to say it, but the most egregious abusers of common sense driving like this are women. And they're usually the ones on their phone as well. Americans in general are just not taught to drive. And that's the root cause of all of these issues. They don't know how to give or respond to the universal light flash that means move to the right. They don't understand how traffic lights work. They don't drive defensively. Most, at least 90%, cannot drive a manual. And about as many don't know how to check the oil or change a tire. It's pathetic. I think this basic lack of knowledge leads to some people feeling insecure and unsure in their cars, which leads to timid driving. There's a fix for this. Education. I think everyone should be required to show basic automobile knowledge. I'd like for everyone to be able to drive a stick, but that's going away due to so many electric cars that don't have any gears at all. I'm a firm believer that actually driving the car and controlling the gears forces the driver to be more attentive. Nonetheless, everyone should understand traffic flow, ramp meters, lights, the accordion effect, and how to help traffic rather than make it worse. And learn how to use a damn roundabout. I think the world will be a better place. Thanks for your time. This is Angela.
Okay, so now that we've listened to that, I mean, she clearly has a lot to say.
She does.
Something clearly got to her about timid drivers, and then it just sort of...
As far as the length of it, yeah. I think she did pretty well, because if I were to rant about people driving in Atlanta, it would have gone on for a lot longer than an episode.
Yeah.
So at least time frame, but I don't necessarily agree
with... She
was
very concise.
Yes. Yeah.
She was... Mm-hmm. Because I'm right there with you, man. If I get started, we'll be here for a day.
Yeah, exactly.
But she said a couple things which sort of stuck out to me is like, you know, we're an undisciplined lot of drivers by and large, and I think that's true.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's true. We have a city that has more and more roundabouts cropping up around it, but no one knows how to use them. No one knows how to navigate them.
I feared them coming to Georgia. So it's been 20 years since I first feared that, and they are popping up everywhere.
Right. And people don't know you're supposed to signal when you're leaving a roundabout.
Well, my issue with that, and I do signal, but the angle of the roundabout, if you don't have a front-mounted turn signal, the people that are waiting just because the angle you're going around the roundabout, they can't see that right turn signal.
I think it's for the people behind you.
I think it's for everybody, but there's somebody waiting and yielding and wanting to jump into the roundabout. Anyways, we don't need to rant about that.
Well,
yes, you should use it, but I don't think everybody who needs it can actually see it.
Right. Well, and she's right. You know, we're surrounded by to use her phrase, idiots.
That's being very nice.
That is being very nice. Like, I was driving, I can't remember where I was driving the other day, in the rain, in a very hard rain, and this I just got to say it, I don't have the vocabulary for it. This idiot comes barreling up behind me in a late model Charger, and his daytime running lights around his, you know, the LED headlights that frame the actual headlights.
The halos?
Not even halos. They're
yeah, it's just a strip.
Oh, okay.
On the brand new Chargers.
His daytime LEDs were red. So here I am looking at this car coming up in my rearview mirror in the hard rain, and I swear to God I'm looking at taillights the entire time because he doesn't have his headlights on in the rain like he's supposed to. It's just the red daytime drivers. And I'm like, this is, one, it's illegal. Two, it's just flatly unsafe.
And I think what we also need to tell the listeners, I've heard so many people have this conversation, and they're kind of getting it wrong. The headlights that you turn on when it's raining is not so that you can see. The headlights on your car during the rain is so other people can see you. Right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay, and so many people argue, I don't need to turn them on, I can see, or it's daylight. That is beside the point. If it's coming down hard enough, we've all seen it, you can't see 5 feet in front of you, that's why your headlights are on, so other people can see you.
Turn on your lights in the rain and don't turn on your blinkers in the rain.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. The flashers are not helping. Have your headlights on, have your taillights on. Make sure all the light bulbs are functioning on your vehicle, for the love of God.
And don't drive faster than you can see.
Right.
Oh, God, yeah, that's...
Ronnie, you about to say something?
No, I mean, we had a very simple rule in the North, a lesson that stuck with, I think, a lot of my classes. If your wipers are on, your headlights should be on.
Yeah. Right.
If you don't see the sun, you should have your headlights on. And stop depending so much on your auto headlights because they don't always work.
Right.
If there isn't enough darkness to turn your headlights on, and car manufacturers, if you're listening, you should really include a program feature where if your wipers turn on, your headlights should automatically turn on.
And every time you're cleaning the windshield off of bugs, you're going to be flashing the oncoming drivers.
Well,
I know, depending on which way you use the switch.
Right, I mean, usually you can use the software to program that differently from intermittent to actually on. But it's not that hard. Like, as drivers, we should be aware enough to know whether our headlights are on or off. And again, I think I've credited this to a design flaw by the manufacturers in previous episodes. It's hard to know whether your headlights are on and off because of how your instrument cluster glows. Back in the day, I think a lot of us would agree that when you turned your headlights on, your dash and your interior would light up along with it. But nowadays, they're always lit up. So you don't know if you're... That used to be a lot of people's measures, but it shouldn't take much for us to look.
Well, the Mazda has that little icon that turns on when your headlights
come on. Yes, so. And I was going to say that. I have a couple of cars that have icons for the fog lights and or headlights to let me know they're on. But if you're really that confused, just get behind a car that's shiny enough to reflect light. Seriously, right? Every time I have thought that there was something... No, you just want to see two round lights bouncing back at you. Great, your headlights on.
Right, exactly.
Both of them, you know.
Or there's what I do whenever I'm driving, my lights are on.
Well, there's two other things about Angela's rant that I want to get back to real quick.
Yeah.
One is simply related to speed. I'm sorry, man.
Go for it. No.
One is simply related to speed because I'm a guy who likes to drive fast. I like driving fast. And yet I look at the city of Atlanta in particular, and everyone's in such a rush all the time. And there, I think in a rush that is not about the pure safe enjoyment of speed. It's a rush that says, get out of my way or I'm going to move you, right? Maybe I'm wrong in that perception.
No, I think you're right. It's very culturally ingrained here that you rush and do everything.
Yeah, it's sort of a factor of entitlement plus something else, right?
Yes.
And I don't know what that other thing is. Maybe in the morning especially, people are like, I have to get to work. Nothing else matters.
Yes, I'm the most important person on the planet. How do you not know that I'm running late? Right. I have a meeting. Look at my fancy expensive car. I'm better than you. Enter all the things here. Yeah. Equals that to move out of my way.
Yeah. So I think Angela's point about education is actually spot on.
Yes.
But in addition to skill, I think what we're not teaching people anymore is just pure courtesy.
Yeah.
I think people as a whole, it's more than just driving. Courtesy is lacking from a lot of things. Mm. So it's probably just a sign of our society. And I'm not saying it's good. I seem to be the last parent teaching their child to say thank you and please. So I think it's as a whole. Completely right. It's like turn signals. If you're going to change lanes, use the turn signal. And you don't have the right of way if you do use the turn signal. Right. You still have to wait to make sure the other car is aware that you have your turn signal on. And no, our A-pillars are not transparent.
I will say that it has been rather frustrating to me a number of times where I would put my turn signal on and I come to...
We still won't let you over, right?
Right. So I'll address this in a way of one of Angela's comments as well. She talked about how Atlanta is the land of the super aggressive driver. Have to disagree with you there, Angela. If you've ever been to the Northeast in New York, New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia.
I think I scared them.
Our turn signal doesn't mean we're would you let me over? It means I'm coming over. Exactly. Get out of the way.
But I was saying, though, as far as legal, you're...
Well, no, there is a difference, because you're right. Up north, it is sort of not a request. It's a warning.
Yeah.
But down here, when I put on my turn signal, sometimes it feels like an invitation for someone to block me off.
Yes. And that drives me nuts. Yeah. Like, we can do this the easy way, or we can do this the hard way, fella. Like, I'm going to turn my turn signal on. I'll give you the opportunity to speed up or slow down. I don't care what it is.
Just
please move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you don't. I'm going to make things hard for you because I may be guilty of what Mickey addressed earlier. I have somewhere to be. I don't care if you don't. Apparently, like 70% of Atlanta doesn't have anywhere to be, but I have somewhere to be. And so I just want to go. It's not that I'm trying to think that I'm the most important person on the road. I'm just trying to do what I was educated to do growing up, and that was move. Just keep moving. You know, at least hit the
speed limit. If you look at the actual math behind what it means to move fast, let's say, okay, I live down in the Stockbridge-Jonesboro area, right? Getting up to, let's say, my fiance's house is, generally speaking, a 40-minute drive. Now, I can do that 40-minute drive, average speed of 70 miles an hour, which is what I normally do, and it takes me 40 minutes. If I do it at 60 miles an hour, it'll only take me 45. Is a 5-minute difference really worth it?
They get the illusion they're getting there faster. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
But part of Angela's rant was Atlanta's moving at 75 to 80 miles an hour. And I actually need to throw my hand up on that one. I have in Mexico, you say that so you can't get in trouble for giving a location. So in Mexico, I was driving 90 miles an hour and I had to use the middle lanes because I was being passed frequently and I was doing 90. So it depends on any given day. The people that are around you easily...
Well, and the caveat to that is, you know, one of my first reactions was, wouldn't it be nice if we could reliably go 90 miles an hour all the time anyway? Mm-hmm. In Atlanta traffic, you know, you're dead if you're in traffic. It's best 20-mile-an-hour crawl. So, mm-hmm.
And I think speed has a lot to do with relativity.
you know what I mean? I think it's actually in the formula.
No pun intended. Yeah. Right. No physics pun is intended.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. So, I mean, it's great that, you know, if we could all agree on a relative speed, everyone's like, oh, no, speed kills. No, it's actually suddenly stopping that gets you.
Yeah.
And that starts
yes.
at the 60-mile-an-hour mark. And that also has to do with the safety of the vehicle. It has to do with the conditions, what impales you. Et cetera.
So did you hear about the guy, I think it was in South Carolina or maybe it was North Carolina, driving a Hellcat clocked at 198 miles an hour?
No.
Yeah, this was within the last 24 to 48 hours.
Holy smokes.
Which will give our listeners a time frame as to when this episode was actually recorded. I think it was North Carolina Highway Patrol clocked them at 198.
And they are vicious with their speeding tickets.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
So, and it was easily one of those things that was done at, like, you know, the very small hours. So they were on an interstate. I think I get the impression that it was a bunch of people just joyriding and just clocking each other going fast.
Mm-hmm.
And he just got his to 198, and I'm like, okay, it's not the speed that kills you, but at 198 miles an hour, driving at 198 miles an hour has got to be a whole different world of driving than driving 75.
Absolutely.
It's suicide. You need to be on a track with a roll cage, with your helmet, with your 5 points. I mean, if you roll in a streetcar, and it will, you will roll so much easier on the streets because a pothole, you see something laying in the road, which happens here in Atlanta a lot.
Oh my goodness.
And you even just try to swerve to miss it at 198 miles an hour.
You can go airborne.
Things that will happen if you just try to avoid an obstacle. That is nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say from experience, 160 is where things start getting really
blurry.
Sketchy.
Yeah.
It's not so much, you know, the actual speed as far as it is the physics of the car and what it will do and how it will react at that speed, because wind pressure becomes a very tangible thing.
Mm-hmm.
So all of your movements are that much more affected. But at 60 to 70 miles an hour, I mean, cars are engineered aerodynamically, suspension-wise and otherwise, to be okay. I mean,
when working properly,
when your vehicle is in full operating condition, you know, if you took your car for an inspection and you got your services done, but a lot of vehicles are engineered for places like the Autobahn, where you can fly at 130 miles an hour and be just fine.
And you can pay to have time on Road Atlanta if you want to do that. If you want to have fun, pay some money, go down to Road Atlanta.
That is true. But, I mean, the counter argument to that is, what if you're not wealthy?
Track days are not cheap. Have they upped the price at Atlanta?
I mean, you can do Road Atlanta track days. You can get a weekend for $200-some-odd.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money, but, I mean, so is getting caught at 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's a lot more than $200.
Yeah.
Right. And it's a lot cheaper than dying.
Right. I mean, so you have to really evaluate what you're doing. I mean, there's the people like me that just want to get a place. I mean, I drive a little bit on the faster side because it keeps me more aware. There was a period in my life where I did an experiment where I tried to go the speed limit and I tried to stay in the right lanes with the slow people. But everyone in the right lanes becomes so unattentive. Yeah. They play on their phone more. They fiddle with their radio more. They become more animated with whoever they're conversing with. They take the driving for granted, and they have become a lot more dangerous. They swerve, they change lanes without using a signal, they are unaware of people that are trying to change lanes. But when I speed up to my usual 70, 80 miles an hour, and I try to stay in the left to left center lanes, people are more attentive, they will signal more, they're typically, you know, they sound like more aggressive drivers, but they are really more aware drivers. And it kind of gets botched up when people from the right lanes move to the left lanes because they think it's their right, or,
and I'm,
you know,
going,
they pay
the
for those
limit.
Roads just the same.
I hate it when I'm just driving down a road, things are not that crowded, and the car in front of me just inexplicably changes lanes.
There was no one in front of you. Why did you change lanes?
I'm always yelling that. Or you'll have five lanes, and there's hardly anybody around, and you've got a Prius doing the speed limit in the left-hand lane. We've got three laws that tell them to get over,
right. And
they still think, yes.
Especially so, Floridians.
Right. Yeah. And I'll say this one thing, and then we'll jump on to the next topic. You know, I did do that the Mythbusters mileage experiment, except I did this way before Mythbusters even existed. And I did all the things. I pumped up my tire pressure. I drove the speed limit for one tank. I can't remember what else I did to the actual car, but driving the speed limit and checking the tire pressure were the two biggest things I did. And I got a 30% increase in 30% increase in my gas mileage.
I was going to make a joke about a 1/100th of a mile. You saw a...
To be fair, this was a Honda Civic.
I was going to ask. I was thinking it was the V6.
No, it wasn't the V6.
Okay.
I should probably do the same experiment with the V6. But
yeah.
It was a Honda Civic without cruise control. I bet with cruise control I could have leaked out a little bit more. But yeah, just normally aspirated. In fact, carbureted engine. I got a 30% increase in gas mileage just from slowing down and correcting my tire pressure.
You didn't cheat and tweak it to be lean, did you?
Nope. Didn't mess with the thing at all.
Well, before we get too far off the topic, and Ronnie touched a little bit on as well, something Angela said in her rant, people need to move out of the right-hand lane so that people coming onto the highway can merge. No. First of all, that's where you learn how to merge. And by the way, people, if you can't figure it out, one car from the right, one car from the left. I'm pointing in the wrong direction while I'm saying it, but it goes right, left, right, left, right.
And,
it's like,
and those entering do not have the right of way.
Right, they have
to yield. They're supposed to yield, yes.
Yeah,
so those people getting onto the highway.
There used to be yield signs.
Yeah.
Yes, they are supposed to yield. They are supposed to adjust their speed. And yes, everybody, that also means accelerating as well. But you match the speed. You've got the ramp to give you time. You merge. Don't force everybody, all the slower people, over to the left. Now you've got another problem.
Well, that takes me back to my other issue of courtesy. Like, if you see me coming onto the highway,
start pacing. Yeah, start backing off. Leave at least one car length in front. Plus bumper room, obviously, but room for at least one car to get over.
Ronnie, do we have time to quickly talk about annual inspections, or should we save that for the next episode?
I mean, I think we kind of trapped into it a little bit in this whole discussion. The best way that you can get your car to perform is to make sure, and I wish it was a law, but it's kind of hard for those that aren't financially, you know, savvy to put the money aside. But an annual inspection is kind of important, because if a car doesn't perform at its peak, then we can never have laws that force drivers to be where they should be. Because if the cars are falling apart, then, you know, accelerating gets harder. Stopping gets harder. Changing lanes in an emergency and defensive driving gets harder. You can't really turn your headlights on in the rain if your headlights don't work.
Well,
and I've seen a basic safety inspection not done as a matter of law, but done as a matter of courtesy at an express loop place where they changed my oil and they walked around the entire car.
Oh, yes, always.
But the emissions people who are required by law to get your emissions done every year here in Georgia, the emissions people don't do anything like that.
Exactly. And that's what I would make as part of your annual inspection, because I think
I lived in Texas for a few years. That's a good example. It's not a really in-depth inspection. It costs $25-$40 depending on where you get it done. But they check the lights, they check the horn, they check the wipers, they make sure you've got bumpers, all that basic stuff, you know.
Right. And that's all I'm really kind of talking about in terms of inspection. Your car doesn't have to be 1,000% factory showroom perfect.
Right. A little bit goes a long way with safety.
Your wiper should work. You should be topped off on all your fluids.
Lights. Sorry. I thought you were going to take a breath there. The brake lights. Have all your brake lights.
Have brake lights, tack lights. Because, I mean, even as a master mechanic myself, I can't tell when my taillights are working. Like, I have a special tool, and then I still have to remember to use that special tool to check, you know, every so often whether my taillights are working. I usually depend on my wife following me to tell me that, you know, my
back
lights are
up to
out.
A wall and look in your mirror.
Right, yeah.
Well, see, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of. I tend to not have people that help me out. So I frequently do light checks because I'm always stuck behind the person without brake lights. It drives me nuts. A storefront that has glass. Every time I get near something shiny, and y'all were kind of laughing earlier with the headlights, but that's what I do. Anytime I'm near something shiny, and if I'm in an area where there is a glass front with the store, I will pull my car in one way, put on the turn signals, turn my car around, and I'm doing my own self light check.
Yep.
It's one of the best things that you can do. Just make sure they work.
Ronnie, maybe now's a good time to talk about the other annual element that we wrote up on the board. In addition to something like an annual inspection of your car, you said
annual testing of your driver's license.
Hold on, I'm standing ovation. Standing ovation. Yeah.
And I know a lot of listeners will be opposed to this, but you must understand this is with the caveat of improved public transportation, because you people do need to get around places. We all have things to do. However, you can't suck this much at driving. Like, my mind automatically says, Georgia, you cannot be this bad at driving. It has to be illegal. And then I realize it's not. We need higher standards and regular checks for licensing.
Agreed. And even in Fulton County, to get your driver's license when you're 16, you don't get on the road for the test. We drove around the parking lot. One thing that I had crossed my mind, some people do just truly suck, and I find driving to be like other sports. Some people are naturally inclined, some people can learn it, and some people are never going to get it. It's either athletic or artistic or whatever you want to call it. what I think there ought to be regulations to the driver's license. If you're tested to what capacity you can drive, oh, I'm sorry, you kind of suck at driving. You are not allowed to get in that left-hand lane.
That would be great.
Restrictions to where you can drive depending on your skill set.
I thought about that for graduated license qualifications or something, so that if you have a license to drive, like the bare minimum lets you go the speed limit, but if you can have the advanced license, now maybe you can go 85.
I feel like that's paying homage to the video game Gran Turismo.
Yes.
You get your S-Class license.
And it's totally a pipe dream. And it's such an arrangement would be completely and totally impractical. But
sure, yeah.
But doing annual education and annual renewal testing is an idea that I think makes way too much sense.
And if you think about it, for people that are getting older, I mean, my father renewed his driver's license at 65. And he thinks he can see well. I know he can't. And I know he doesn't hear well at all. But his license has now been renewed for another 8 years. Yeah. And it's like, holy smokes, dude. Like, average life expectancy is like, what, 75 now? And you're allowed to drive just like the rest of us until you die? No, like.
Well, I mean, my mom just got her stuff renewed. And there is a visual acuity test, at least, that she must pass for a renewal.
Yeah. Except there are some allowed to renew it online. So that was one of the things I was going to say. My dad just renewed his online. I'm pretty sure now I'm having to double think that. But I know he renewed it recently. He is, what, 80, 81 now. He has had fluctuating vision for decades because he's got diabetes. And now it's just, he's just blind. No other way around it. And he's slipping into Alzheimer's and all this. And he still holds a driver's license.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah. The people that are holding license doesn't mean that they're good at this.
See, that also gets extra complicated because what room is there in any DMV operation to actually judge the health or the mental health of the individual at hand?
Why I think there should be like a reaction test. I think when I say annual testing should be of the bare minimum. You get your vision test. You have to verify that you know what every sign means. By the way, Georgia, when a sign says keep moving and you have your own lane to make the turn, you keep moving. You don't slow down. A yield sign.
Okay, Ronnie, I'm just
going to,
yes, all over that.
Ronnie, this is the thing I got to tell you. The Georgia is the only state I've ever been in that has a traffic sign that simply says no.
Short and sweet.
I'm like, how parental can you get? The sign simply says no, and I love this thing.
I have to tell you about some of the signs in Mexico then, but no, and people on the street. Okay, if your line, I don't care if the line is white, if it's solid, you don't cross it.
Yes.
Because somebody probably has a keep moving sign. It doesn't mean jam as many people over as soon as that additional lane opens up. If it's dotted, you can cross it. If it's solid, do not cross. It either means keep your lane or, you know, somebody else has a right of way somewhere, don't cross it.
All right. Thank you, Angela, for the excellent rant and the resulting conversation. This was, I think, a really good one. We still have other topics on the board, but we will save them for our next episode. And again, you know, just thanks to our listeners for listening to us. This is The Thing About Cars, recording in Strongbox West. Please come see us. We're planning to be at our friend Greg's C5 car show at the Brookhaven Arts Festival. I believe that's October 21. Make sure you look for us there. And if you can help us raise a little bit of funds for new microphones and new recording gear, we greatly appreciate your help with that. You can find the venues for doing that on our Facebook page and on our website, thethingaboutcars.com. Am I forgetting anything else?
I think
that's it.
Drive like a sane person.
Yes, always.
Thanks for joining us, you guys. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.